CD 6.
Simony trotted through the palace. No one was paying him much attention. Most of the Ephebian guard were outside the labyrinth, and Vorbis had made it clear to anyone who was thinking of venturing inside just what would happen to the palace's inhabitants. Groups of Omnian soldiers were looting in a disciplined sort of a way. Besides, he was returning to his quarters. There was a tortoise in Bruther's room. It was sitting on the table between a rolled-up scroll and a gnawed melon rind, and insofar as it was possible to tell with tortoises, was asleep. Simony grabbed it without ceremony, rammed it into his pack, and hurried back towards the library. He hated himself for doing it. The stupid priest had ruined everything. But Didactylos had made him promise, and Didactylos was the man who knew the truth. All the way there, he had the impression that someone was trying to attract his attention.
"You could remember them just by looking," said Erne.
"Yes."
"The whole scroll?"
"Yes."
"I don't believe you."
"The word Librum outside this building has a chip in the top of the first letter," said Brother. "Zeno wrote Reflections, and old Aristocrates wrote Platitudes, and Didactylos thinks Ibid's discourses are bloody stupid. There are 600 paces from the tyrant's throne room to the library. There is a..."
"He's got a good memory. You've got to grant him that," said Didactylos. "Show him some more scrolls."
"How will we know he's remembered them?"
Erne demanded, unrolling a scroll of geometrical theorems.
"He can't read, and even if he could, he can't write."
"We shall have to teach him."
Brother looked at a scroll full of maps. He shut his eyes. For a moment the jagged outline glowed against the inside of his eyelids, and then he felt them settle into his mind. They were still there somewhere. He could bring them back at any time. Erne unrolled another scroll. Pictures of animals. This one, drawings of plants and lots of writing. This one, just writing. This one, triangles and things. They settled down in his memory. After a while, he wasn't even aware of the scroll unrolling. He just had to keep looking. He wondered how much he could remember. But that was stupid. You just remembered everything you saw. A tabletop or a scroll full of writing. There was as much information in the grain and colouring of the wood as there was in Zeno's Reflections. Even so, he was conscious of a certain heaviness of mind, a feeling that if he turned his head sharply, then memory would slosh out of his ears. Erne picked up a scroll at random and unrolled it part way.
"Describe what an ambiguous puzuma looks like," he demanded.
"Don't know," said Brother. He blinked.
"So much for Mr. Memory," said Erne.
"He can't read, boy. That's not fair," said the philosopher.
"All right, I mean, the fourth picture in the third scroll you saw," said Erne.
"A four-legged creature facing left," said Brother. "A large head similar to a cat's, and broad shoulders with the body tapering towards the hind quarters. The body is a pattern of dark and light squares. The ears are very small and laid flat against the head. There are six whiskers, the tail is stubby. Only the hind feet are clawed, three claws on each foot. The forefeet are about the same length as the head and held up against the body. A band of thick hair..."
"That was 50 scrolls ago," said Erne. "He saw the whole scroll for a second or two."
They looked at Brother. Brother blinked again.
"You know everything?" said Erne.
"I don't know."
"You've got half the library in your head."
"I feel a bit..."
The library of Ephib was a furnace. The flames burned blue where the melted copper roof dripped into the shelves. All libraries everywhere are connected by the bookworm holes in space created by the strong space-time distortions found around any large collection of books. Only a very few librarians learn the secret, and there are inflexible rules about making use of the fact, because it amounts to time travel, and time travel causes big problems. But if a library is on fire, and down in the history books as having been on fire... There was a small pop, utterly unheard among the crackling of the bookshelves, and a figure dropped out of nowhere onto a small patch of unburned floor in the middle of the library. It looked ape-like, but it moved in a very purposeful way. Long, simian arms beat out the flames, pulled scrolls off the shelves, and stuffed them into a sack. When the sack was full, it knuckled back into the middle of the room and vanished with another pop. This has nothing to do with the story. Nor does the fact that, sometime later, scrolls thought to have been destroyed in the great Ephebian library fire turned up in remarkably good condition,